Hi, it's Brandy Taylor. Welcome to the Business Beauty Network podcast, where business meets beauty. It's not just lipstick, it's business. We will share thought-provoking conversations with business and beauty professionals. Our goal is to empower, motivate, and inspire you to take your business to the next level. This episode is sponsored by StyleSeed. Join StyleSeed today, trusted by top professionals and adored by clients. Hey, welcome to the Business Beauty Network podcast, where business meets beauty. Welcome. I am super, super excited to bring a new episode to you today. But before we get into that, make sure that you are subscribed to the Business Beauty Network podcast wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share it, because sharing is caring. So if you know someone who would benefit from this awesome content, please share it. You can contact us for questions or any reviews or requests at hello@businessbeautynetwork.com. You can also check out the website at businessbeautynetwork.com. Make sure that you leave us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. That helps other people to find us, and we would love to hear from you there. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Biz Beauty Network, and we're also on YouTube at Biz Beauty Network as well. Now that all of that is out of the way, I'm super excited. We're into a new season. Spring will officially be here tomorrow. So spring is almost here, even though I looked out of my window this morning and yeah, it was snowing just a little bit, and it's 35 degrees. So it's not feeling too springy today, but the sun was shining yesterday. A little bit last week, we had some 60 and 70 degree days here and there. So this weather is kind of all over the place, but I'm nevertheless excited about a new season. And a new season is a great time to refresh and restart, right? So January, you may have said that you were going to hit certain goals. You may have had certain things that you were working on, and maybe you've fallen off. I know I've fallen off of a few things that I wanted to stay consistent on this year. So now that we're a new season, this is a great time to kind of get back on where you got off at, right? So, hey, dust yourself back off and get right back up where you got off at and keep moving. And that's what I recommend doing. It's a new season, a great time to just get back on those goals. We still got the rest of this year and we can make it an awesome year. I can say that 2024 has already been better than 2023 was for me. So for that, I'm blessed and thankful. And I'm using this new season to get back on track. And I recommend you do the same. And I'm rooting for you, okay? But I have a great episode in store for you today. Jessica was an awesome guest. She shared her journey, and it was interesting learning about her journey and how she built her brand and the ups and downs. And I think you're really going to enjoy this. Here is a little bit of Jessica's bio. Jessica Kidd began her journey in the hair industry at the young age of 19. After receiving her cosmetology license in 2004, Jessica graduated from the Morgan State University with a degree in public relations in 2009. After living in Atlanta for almost 3 years, Jessica returned to her hometown in 2011, arriving on a Baltimore soil. She hit the ground running, relaunching her brand with everything she learned during her stay in Georgia. House of Bombshell LLC was born. Jessica expanded the HOB brand in 2018, opening House of Bombshell Beauty Parlor. Jessica often instills the importance of continuing education and higher learning in her team and those around her. She graduated in 2023 with a master's in strategic communications, which has helped take her career in beauty to new and unparalleled levels. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview, and here it goes. Hey everyone, it's Brandy. I hope you're enjoying this podcast as much as I absolutely enjoy bringing this awesome content to you. Look, beauty professionals, this show is for you. And I want to make sure we can continue to bring our awesome guests and awesome information to help empower the beauty community all over the world. You can help by doing your part in making a small donation. You can check our link in the show notes and donate right on Anchor, or we'll have another link available for you to do so. Thank you so much for supporting. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast and you're sharing it as well. As always, stay great. Hey, welcome to the podcast. It is your host, Brandy Taylor. We have an awesome guest today, Jessica Kidd. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. So, Jessica, before we start learning more about you and all the awesome things you're doing in the industry, tell us something about yourself that most people would not know.
Sure. Most people would not know. I feel like people don't know that I'm actually pretty shy. I don't think people, they don't get that. They feel like she's just so just out there, but I'm actually pretty shy. So more people don't know that.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's definitely a fun fact. Thanks for sharing it. You know, I get that often on the podcast. People
really
are often like, yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I actually get that often. Or people will say they're introverts or they're shy. Mm-hmm. I get that comment. But thanks for sharing. So you've been in the beauty industry for a very long time, straight out of high school, right? So
yeah.
Tell us, how did you start your journey in this industry?
So I began this journey at 19 years old. Like you said, I studied cosmetology in high school. I went to a trade school in Baltimore, Maryland. And upon graduating high school, I was eligible to get my cosmetology license. But I took the test, but I failed the theory. So I said, well, I'm enrolling in college. I was going to Morgan State that fall. I'm like, I don't need that, blah, blah, blah. But little did I know, I was going to need some extra coins while I was in college. So a cosmetology license would come in handy. So my mother, she just had a conversation with me and she's just like, you know, don't let that, all of that go to, you know, waste. So I took the theory test a year later in 2004 and I passed it and became a licensed cosmetologist. So from there, I started shampooing for more seasoned beauty professionals. And a couple months, maybe probably like a year later, I finally started working behind the chair. And I started out at JCPenney Salon. I started doing hair there, and it was very scary. It was very scary. But what I really needed was like a mentor, someone to really guide me, because cosmetology, as it is, really doesn't prepare you for life behind the chair. But especially when you're doing it in high school,
right,
they're really just teaching you how to pass the state board. The focus is really not on your trade, really. It's really on you, your other academic, you know, all of that, math and science and all of that. So I really, I feel like we really got the short end of the stick when it came to salon reality, like even worse than regular cosmo school. So I left there and started working at another salon where I found my mentor, and I just used to watch, spin around in my chair, watch her do hair. And I started perfecting my craft from there, went on to work in a few different, maybe like one other salon where I really grew my clientele. And then I moved to a salon suite. So that's where my journey and working in and out of salon suites really started, like in 2007. So a few years after I got licensed. And after I graduated from Morgan, I still was attending Morgan State. So I graduated from Morgan with a degree in communication, concentration in public relations. And I said, I'm moving to Atlanta. This is a small town. Yes. I'm getting out of here. I want to be a celebrity hairstylist. I want to work on photo shoots and do all the things. And if that doesn't work, I had my degree. So I moved to Atlanta and it was like reality check. It was like the first time I was really on my own because, like I said, I went to Morgan State, but that's my hometown. I didn't live on campus. I stayed at home. So moving to Atlanta was really, really a pivotal point, not just in my career, but my life. It was the first time I was on my own where reality like really set in. And during my time there, I just, again, perfected my craft, really, really tapped into networking and meeting new people, getting out of that shyness and really, really trying to grow my brand personal and business-wise. And after about 3 years there, I left, came back to Baltimore, and when my feet set on Baltimore soil, I just took off running, like, with everything that I learned in Atlanta, because Atlanta, they just, the hair, like, the hair industry, the salon industry was just on a different level, I felt like, as compared to Baltimore.
Like, how do you feel like this?
So, just compared to Baltimore, because Baltimore, we can do some hair, but it was just the overall experience, like the salon experience, just making it an experience. I hadn't seen that where I was, and I know it was something that was normal, like in LA and New York, but seeing it up close and personal during my time in Atlanta, I was like, okay, when I go back to Baltimore, I'm going to implement this. I'm going to make the salon visit an experience. Like, I want my clients to come.
What were the lessons that you learned when you were in Atlanta?
So, I feel like, most importantly, really taking control of your chair. That's what I like to call it. Like, the guy that I worked under, he was great. He was kind, but he didn't allow clients to, you know, come in and tell him, you know, oh, I don't need this. Oh, I'm gonna do that next time. It was like, no, you need this. Basically, I'm the expert. I'm the professional. This is why you come to me and you're paying me. This is what you need. You know, but, you know, like, really, like a doctor, like a hair doctor, I'm prescribing this so you can have the best experience and the best outcome of your hair. Booking online, that was the first time I had heard about, like, online booking. That was something new to me, and I thought it was, like, the greatest thing. Like, it was like a system in place to make my life easier. You know, I didn't have to text the client back or miss the client's phone call. Now we're playing phone tag because I'm back behind the chair. It's like, you go to this late, you book your appointment, and then that's just that. And salons here in Baltimore, they still had it, but they were kind of, salon suites were starting to become very popular here, so we were kind of getting away from that whole experience. You come in, you check in at the receptionist desk, you have a salon assistant. The salon assistant greets you, take you to the shampoo bowl, shampoo you, the stylist, they style you. It was like it was order, it was decency and order, and I love that when clients came. And this was really the only salon that I worked in Atlanta. I visited a couple more and interviewed at a few more where they had different vibes, but it was still that experience. Like, one salon, it was very girly. So when you went there, and very feminine. So when you went there, you felt girly, you felt, you know, feminine. The salon that I worked in for the most amount of my time there, it was more of like a zen feel. So you felt like zen, and it wasn't a lot of children being serviced. So you felt like the clientele was primarily like mature women and professional women. So I loved that you could create the vibe that you wanted, and I hadn't seen that yet, because I'm coming from salons where, oh, from little babies to senior citizens, it's just and in between, everybody's getting service. And it's like, okay, that was the first time I really saw people like niche down mm-hmm. and hone in on who their target audience was. So that made me, it was time for me to return back home, I was just like, okay, this is my target audience. This is the type of woman that I want to serve. This who I want to be my clientele. This is my target. This is the experience that I want to offer. I want them to feel like a bombshell when they leave out of the chair. I want mm-hmm. them to feel sexy. I want them to feel confident. You know, when they come in, I want them to feel relaxed. I want them to feel like they have walked into an upscale space, but it's also, you know, relaxed. It's not pretentious. You can come here and let your head down and be yourself.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's great. I think it's very important to know who your client is so that you can even target them, the type of experience you yes. want them to feel when they come into your space. And it's interesting how you said, like, I remember that girl went to salons where everybody just went to the same salon. Like, kids, like, grandmas, everybody yes. went to that same neighborhood salon.
Yeah.
And, but I love the fact, like, how you were saying when you were in Atlanta, they created an experience. It was an ambiance tailored upon the type of client that they wanted to attract. Yeah. So tell us, like, when you came home, you hit the ground running, what were some of the first things you decided you wanted to implement in your business? Now you know who your client is, how you want to make them feel. What were some of the things that you did when you got back to Baltimore?
So when I got back to Baltimore, I felt like, okay, I've been away. You know, Atlanta and Baltimore is very different. Things may have changed as far as the style and part of things. So let me get back into a salon to make sure, you know, I'm caught up to speed. Like, things are, so I wanted to get back into a salon setting. Like, you know, I had been in Atlanta. I saw how much I grew, how much I was able to thrive. And I wanted the same thing when I came back home, but also a place where I was free to grow as an individual and really, you know, expand my personal brand. So I did my research, and someone referred me to a salon that had just opened that was just like I had, you know, pictured, you know, me working in, you know, when I came back home. It was upscale. It was a new salon. And I went to interview with the owner and got a chair there. And I was there for about a year and a half, but I ended up leaving because, again, I wanted to create my ultimate goal was to create my own atmosphere. And I knew what I really needed to do, that it was time for me to go. Like, I knew that when they started making changes within their business, so they went from just, you know, being a hair salon and servicing primarily women, they went from a salon and barbershop. That was never a goal of mine. I never wanted to work inside of a salon with barbers. So I knew from there it was time for me to move on. But so from there, I went back into a salon meet where I could really, really, really set my own atmosphere and create that ambiance that I wanted my client to experience. So that was called House of Bombshell. That's really where the Bombshell brand, well, I would say the House of Bombshell brand really, really like took off. And then from there, I started my own product line, and I just kept building the brand. And I was there for about 5 years. And then I opened a full service salon, House of Bombshell Beauty Parlor, under the House of Bombshell brand. And
okay, before we get there, Jessica, before we get there. Okay, so you back to the suite. Now, after leaving the salon, now you went to a suite. You've been back for a while. So What were some of the things you did to, like, you know, really build your business up in the suite? Now you have your own atmosphere. You're able to create that experience you want to create for your clients. Like, take us through, like, how you were able to do that and how you were able to build up your clientele.
Okay. So I was able to build up my clientele by word of mouth, of course, but I feel like social media, especially like Instagram, this is when it really started, like, getting hot here. So people were moving away from Facebook and Twitter, and then, you know, Instagram became the new it thing. So I started my Instagram very, very early on, and I got a lot of clients from that. And as I mentioned, word of mouth, but also too, branding myself as Bombshell and House of Bombshell, like really, really, like, brand.
And what were some things that you did to brand yourself?
So I started out with the product line. So my own product line, House of Bombshell. So it was finishing products because I wanted a way to, like, for my clients to feel like they were taking a piece of me home. And so that experience, that salon experience can keep going, that can keep going to the next salon experience and the next salon experience. And I knew from that, they would tell other people, oh, I have this new edge control. Oh, I got this new serum, girl. It keeps my head shiny, you know? And also to merch. Like, merch was, I feel like so many people, and I've been super busy, so I haven't been able to focus on merch right now, but people still ask me, like, when the merch coming out? When's the Bombshell merch? Like, so that was t-shirts, that was hats. And it became a way that people could, like, represent the brand. Some that didn't even come to me to get their hair service, they just thought the merch was so cute and they wanted to be a part of that brand. So I started out with, like, three different kinds of t-shirts. One was the logo, House of Bombshell. One was just the symbol, the B. And then one was Bombshell, but the definition Bombshell. So if you didn't know what it means, that definition was right on the shirt. And if you wanted to be a part of that, you needed to come on over here to the House of Bombshell to get the
merch. I love that. And but you were like, it was a community, like, up with to your merch, yes. With your branding. I love that.
Yes. And I knew that I had something when a client came to me for an appointment, and she said, Jess, I was in the mall and someone stopped me, and she said she loved my hair, and she asked where I went, and I told her what salon I went to, and she said, you go to Jessica. And I said, yes, how did you know? And she said, because you look like a Bombshell. So I knew, like, from there, I was like, okay, I'm on to something. People can identify my work. They associate it immediately with Bombshell. Like, okay, Justin, you're on the right path. And I really feel like my education and background in public relations really helped with that too, really advertising and promoting and knowing how to communicate with my audiences. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was going to ask you about that. Like, how were you able to use your degree in PR to help you with your beauty business?
Yep.
Did you do any paid advertising, or was it all just like people wear your shirts and your apparel and everything locally? Like, how did you continue to promote the brand?
Imagine a world where your beauty business grows effortlessly while enjoying more personal time. Introducing StyleSeat, the ultimate salon management platform designed just for you. Building your beauty business empire has never been smoother. StyleSeat handles the nitty-gritty details like booking management and building powerful business tools so that you can focus on what you do the best. Try StyleSeat today and enjoy $30 off your first month of the premium plan. You can find the link and all the details in the show notes.
So early on, I didn't have the money to do paid advertising. So it was really, literally, if I paid for anything, it was probably like flyers. Because back then, you know, we were still handing out flyers. but it was definitely just social media. I did a website, and that was also something that I kind of learned in school. So it wasn't the best, but it was something professional. It was a space. It was a digital platform where my clients could go and learn more about me, learn more about the brand. And that was one thing that I had to pay for. Of course, you know, the monthly, you know, subscription for your domain and hosting and all of that. But other than that, and flyers, I didn't pay for any paid advertising. Now, years later, yeah, that's when the big marketing budget, the bigger marketing budget, they came, and you know, I started investing in like product photography, a publicist, somebody who knew way more than me that worked in the beauty industry. And a better website. I paid for someone to do my website. So later, all of that came, but in the beginning, I didn't have the budget for that. So I had to do what I could do with what I had and use the knowledge that I gained while I was in school.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we all start out at first. You know, at first, mm-hmm. you use what you have. You know, as entrepreneurs, yes. we use what we have at first. And then as we go and grow, we can be yes. on. And I want to talk about that because you have been able to, like, started in this game when you were, you know, 19, straight out of high school, and being in it so many years, you have grown your business, you know, working in salons, having a suite, to having your own salon. And kudos to you for all of that, because sometimes I feel like people get stuck in this industry, right? Absolutely. Like, people kind of get stuck. Like, they get stuck. It gets stuck at the same place, the same rates, the same everything. And I've seen it over the years. You know, I know you've seen it too. So I kind of like share your thoughts in some ways that you feel contributed to your growth and you feel that other people should think about that are in the industry right now.
Okay. I always say that I am always a student. I always tell when I had a full service salon, I will always tell my stylist there to never stop learning, always be a student, because this industry is ever changing. It's always evolving. So there's always something to learn. So soon as you feel like you're the expert, then it's try to learn something else or try to learn something new about what you're an expert at, because I promise you it's there. So I feel like that has been the major key to my success. Also to customer service. I feel like as beauty professionals today, we have forgotten that we are servants. We're here to serve. You know, I feel like with Instagram, it has kind of made us as, you know, the celebrity now, you know, mm-hmm. The influencer. So we kind of forget, oh, I'm here to serve, you know, remove the ego, you know, put that aside and really, really service your client and offer them customer care. I feel like that has made a difference. In my group as well. And I would say those are the most two important things. Just continuously learning, continuously educating myself. I never stop. You know, even if it was a class that I feel like, okay, I'm a little bit more advanced than this, but I would still sit in because I wanted my staff to see, like, I wanted them to see, like, oh, she's right here with us. Like, yes, there is no, like, of course, you know, I'm the owner, but I'm just like you at the end of the day when it comes to being a stylist. We are we are on the same level. I'm here to learn just like you.
I love that. So continuing education, never stop learning. And I think that is what it is. We get stuck because we stop learning, you know?
Absolutely.
Because we're not continuously staying educated on top of our crafts, learning what's new and trending and all those things, that could cause you to stay stuck. So continuing your education and then remembering about the service piece, the customer service, the customer experience. And I think nowadays, people with the economy the way it is, people are expecting that more. Because I've seen like a shift with some people's businesses in the industry. And I think the people who, you know, heighten their level of customer service and experience are the ones who are going to win this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like you said, it's getting tough out here. And it's getting hard for a lot of people. And people are going to want to spend their money where they feel like they are being valued as a customer. So if they aren't feeling like that, then they're going to take that money elsewhere where they are valued as a customer. So that customer care is just so important. And losing your ego as a beauty professional and remembering, okay, I'm here to serve. I'm not just here to be arrogant and to just, you know, do hair. I'm here to be a servant.
Now, how do you feel about multiple streams of income? I know you had your merch, you have extensions, you have hair products. So I know you tap into multiple streams, but kind of like tell us a little bit like why you decided to add some of the extra things to your business and how you feel about the importance of having multiple streams in your beauty business.
I knew that it was important when, okay, I always say I still pressed my way to six figures because I really did. But I worked hard. I worked really, 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 really hard. And still pressing weren't the only thing that I was doing. Of course, I was doing sewing weaves and, you know, all of those things too. But primarily it was silk presses, but I was working very, very hard. And one day I'm just like, I had to figure out a way where I can make the same thing, but not work as hard. I want to work smarter. So that's when, you know, I started adding on, you know, the merch. So like I said earlier, I started off with t-shirts, but then I thought I added on hats for bad hair days so you can still look bomb. So clients love that. And then I started adding on hair extensions because I was doing full sewing weaves, but I was always telling them, oh, go get your extensions from here. But adding that on, you know, I could add it on to my services, or it was already available. And I'm like, oh, well, I have extensions, bombshell hair. You know, you don't have to worry about it. They're already here. You can purchase me in here. That helped a lot, especially when I moved to the full service salon. So, yes, bottom line is I just wanted to start working smarter, not harder. And I wanted to make the same amount of money, if not more. And I knew that standing behind the chair and just providing beauty services wasn't going to do that. I needed to implement some other streams. So multiple streams. I once read, I think they said seven multiple streams.
Yeah, they said seven.
So I added on a bag. So I started off with like a bombshell bag. It was sequin when I was in a salon suite. And this was, so I didn't know then, but I was tapping into like lifestyle at that point. It was more than just merch then. It was more lifestyle products. And my clients, they like to travel and they want to look cute when they traveling. And I had a lot of clients at the time who were beauty professionals, and this could be a kit bag, you know, when you're going to photo shoot or so when you're traveling to see a client. So I bought some sequin bags, sequin duffel bags wholesale, and I got logo luggage tags made and just popped them on there and sold them. And that was another string. Now it was in apparel and accessories. So the Bombshell bags are much better now. They're branded, they're amazing, they're croc, they're vegan leather. They're bomb. But but that was another string. So now I had hair products, I had apparel and accessories and hair extensions. And then I started out with one pattern, so with hair extensions, and it was just wavy. And then my client, I saw the need for different textures because clients wanted the ability to wear their hair curly or, you know, straight when they had a weave. So I started adding on different patterns, a wavy curly, then I added on a tighter curl. So it just kept going and going as I saw the demand.
Yeah, I just wanted you to share that because it's very important to just not put all of your eggs in one basket. And I want other people to see, like, there's other things that you could add on so that you're not stuck behind a chair 24/7, but you can still have income coming in. Now, I know you're educating as well now, like, fast forward now, I know you're educating. I know you have some things coming up, so kind of share what you got going on.
Yes, so I finally... able to just share my knowledge. I'm so excited about it because before, when I had House of Bombshell Beauty Parlor, I really, really just kept my mentorship and my education for in-house. You know, I wanted my stylist to get all my nuggets, all my knowledge. I wanted them to have first dibs on that. And I was in the process of that, I was also training them because I wanted clients to come and get the Bombshell experience and see anyone. And I did. And people, other beauty professionals would reach out to me all the time and ask me, can you mentor me? I want to take a class with you. Can I do a coaching call? And I would kind of like, you know, push them away a little bit. Like, I don't have the time. I didn't have the capacity to do it at that time because I had all my stylists at House of Bombshell that I was pouring into. So now that House of Bombshell Beauty Parlor is closed and I am back focusing just on Jessica Kidd. You know, behind the chair, I don't have to worry about other stylists. I have the space thanks to the Beauty Hub, my new venture. I have the space now. We have a class firm, we have a consultation office, co-working spaces. So I have the space to do it and I have the capacity to do it now. And I'm so excited about it because I get a chance to make an impact with more people. I get a chance to educate others and do it on a very intimate one-on-one way. Because all of my sessions are right now is one-on-one. Yeah. So I'm excited about it.
That's awesome. So you're going to be offering coaching services and different classes. You said something about a co-working space. So you have a space as well.
Yes, so when I closed House of Bombshell Beauty Parlor, let's kind of loom backtrack. During the pandemic, as everyone, we were all doing our research and wondering what was next and how we were going to pivot out of this thing. And I knew that I kind of felt like I had taken everyone as far as I could take them and in their career as a beauty professional. So I feel like everybody's at a point where whatever their specialty was or whatever they wanted their niche to be, it was time for them to find a coach in that area. So I was ready to end that chapter. House of Bombshell Beauty Parlor, it was 5 years. I was ready to end that chapter, but I needed somewhere to work still. And I knew that I would have to go back to like a salon suite. So I started researching salon suites, and nothing was, I'm like, this isn't, I don't like any of this. So, and I'm like, I'm still a content creator. I need a space where I can make content for House of Bombshell, the brand, you know, the products, the merch, everything. And nothing was like rocking my world. So I started brainstorming, jotting down things, brainstorming. And I came up with the Beauty Hub. And the Beauty Hub was, to me, a salon suites and content studios. And I never seen anything like it. It is nothing like it out here. And I'm like, okay, I need to, being the rebel that I am, I can be shy, but I'm also a rebel. I'm determined. I'm like, I need to do this. So ironically, a long time client of mine and friend came to me. She had been coming to me over the last month or so, and you know, bouncing ideas off of me. She was ready to be tap into business ownership. So one day she came and she said, Jeff, what do you think about salon suites? I was like, so what do I think about salon suites? Oh, let me tell you what I think about salon suites. I have an idea. So I told her a little bit of the idea, but I really wanted to present it to her so she can know that I was serious. This is not just Jeff, your hairstylist and friend. This is just the CEO, the business owner talking. I want you to understand that I'm serious about this. And I pitched the idea to her in a business meeting, and she made an investment, a six-figure investment into my idea. And it's, the rest is history. We opened outdoors October 1st of last year, and it has been going really well. The Beauty Hub is truly a co-working space for beauty professionals. We have 18 salon studios and 4 content rooms that consist of a classroom, a photography studio, a consultation office, and a podcast studio. And we have co-working spaces around the hub. So if you needed to meet up with someone, if you're a member, you can meet up with someone and do whatever you need to do. You don't have to rent a content studio for that time. But we also have virtual business addresses. So that way you have dedicated mailboxes. So if I saw for myself during the pandemic, some of my peers weren't able to get funding. They weren't able to get loans and grants because they didn't have a business address. So I'm like, okay, the solution to that is going to be to this. So it's for creative and beauty pros. The Beauty Hub is amazing. And I know that we will be worldwide. We're going to be worldwide. It's just awesome.
Wow. That's, congratulations. I think that is phenomenal. Thank you. Like, I gotta come. It's in Baltimore, right?
Yes, you gotta
come. Yeah, I gotta come to Baltimore to see that. That's like awesome. Like, for beauty professionals to be able to come in, I could see it. Like, a great place to network, great place to create content. I love it.
Yes.
Who else?
Yes.
Flipping out on them.
Thank you. So, like I said, I have the space now. I have the space and I have the time. So, you know, beauty pros are already in my inbox. Like, when can I register? When can I sign up? I'm like, soon, very soon. This week, the late drop. So, they're excited. I'm excited, and I'm just happy to be able to share everything that I have learned. So,
What do you think the biggest lesson is that you've learned on your entrepreneurial journey thus far? What's the biggest lesson?
Oh, there's so many. It is so many. It is so many. But if I could think of one, it would be, it's so many. But I would say no, the power of no. And having the courage to say no. I did not always have the courage to say no. And having the courage to be disliked. I didn't always have the courage to be disliked either. It used to really bother me. I didn't really run into that problem until I became a salon owner, like, for, you know, of a full service salon. Because everyone is not going to understand your policies and your practices. Everyone is not going to always agree with them. They're not going to always agree with them, but you have to have the courage to stand on business, as everyone's saying right now. Like, you have to have the courage to do that. And if someone is not following your business practices or your policies, you have to have the courage to be disliked, because they may not like it, and they may not like you after. And in business, it's nothing personal. It's nothing personal. It's business. And if you are a threat to my business, then you have to go. So right. I would say that has been the toughest, but it has been a major lesson that I have learned over the years. And always to remember your why. Like, when things get super tough for me, or if I feel like, oh my gosh, like, because entrepreneurship is a doozy, you know, it's like a roller coaster. So when things get super tough, I have to always go back to that why. Like, why? Like, why did you do this? Why are you doing this? And remembering my why.
Awesome. Awesome. Jessica Kia, everybody. Jessica, tell us how we can stay connected with you. Yes. Online and everything. I got your website and everything rolling across, but tell us how we can stay connected with you.
You can stay connected with me, Jessica Kidd, on Instagram at JessicaKidd__. You can shop with us at House of Bombshell at thehouseofbombshell.com. If you are in the Baltimore City or surrounding areas, DC, anywhere, Virginia, please stop by the Beauty Hub. I'm telling you, it's something that needs to be experienced. Follow us on Instagram at Join the Beauty Hub, our website, jointhebeautyhub.com, and let's keep in touch.
Awesome, awesome. But thank you so much, Jessica. It has been so great learning about you and your journey in this industry. I wish you continued success. As always, everyone, you're welcome. As always, everyone, stay great, and we are out. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe. Check us out on Apple Podcasts and leave a review. I want to hear from you. Email me at info@businessbeautynetwork.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at I Am Brandy Taylor and Facebook at I Am Brandy Taylor. I want to connect with you, so let's stay connected. And remember that all things are possible if you only believe. Stay great.